Okay, we can start the puja now. Eh? Today is Thursday,
12 March
2020. So we are at Suyang's house. Eh? Yeah. So who are the two?
Joanne,
yes. Help to light the incense and the candle. Never mind, the fan is okay. The rest of us can stand. Huh? Then the new book is on the floor. Huh? You can have them. Huh? Second edition of the Heart Sutra. No, this one no need to rub because this is on page 94 of the new book. This one, the Trinity Triangle, is on page 243. So easy reference, yeah. The second edition is a lot more clearer, yeah.
Sadhu,
Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah, in front of you there is a new Hatsutta book. Eh? Yeah, you can have a copy each. Yeah. Look at Uum, this, yeah? Yeah, enough to go around. Eh? Yeah. Yeah. I think need to bring one stack up. We have 10 copies. One stack only chopun. Yeah. Jinhao, maybe you have to go down and get. Mi Feng will show you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there is a copy of the New Heart Sutta book, second edition. Huh? They are in front of you. For those who just came in, maybe they will bring up from down there. Yeah? Then last Thursday, this drawing with the four circles is on page 94 of the new book. You can see them all there. Then this triangle trinity is on appendix 6A, page 243. Yeah? So later on, we may just go through quickly. So that you can have a clearer understanding. Okay, Jin Hao has brought it up. The scissors is there already. I think those at the back have not received them. Can pass it to them. Okay, the rest of us, we can get ready for puja. Yeah, a bit smaller. Yeah. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivadimi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami Musawada veramani
Brahmani Sikapadang Samadhyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Brahmani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Now you chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang dojayami tamonudang ganda sambarayotena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punena chatena so tumokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yata vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May this merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami.
Okay, you can be seated. In front of you on your cushion, there is this new book. Second edition of our Heart Sutta. So it's newly printed, ready just today. So, Ananda, you have a copy? Oh, come and collect in front. The two copy, the cushion at the back. One for Jayanta. Anybody don't have a copy? Oh, I was told it's very expensive. Yeah, lah. Basically, I was told it was very expensive. Yeah.
Not really. Oh. Okay. Around
50? 50? 50? 50? Oh, there's a lot. Never mind. We will collect from them.
It's okay.
No. This one very expensive. If it's cheap, it's okay. It's in one set, it's about 50 ringgit, isn't it?
Then you got to ask.
Yeah. It's not cheap, yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap, yeah. The vaccine is not cheap, yeah. This one is for coronavirus. Oh, yeah, it lasts you 1 month. It protects you 1 month. Three costs. No, the immune system will at least protect you for 1 month. You put underneath your tongue, empty stomach. Let it dissolve. Then after that, you can have your breakfast. But you have to do it consistently for 3 days. Then it will give you the immunity. Because we make a mistake. Last Tuesday, I told them it was free. So a lot of people order, but now we have to tell them it's not free. Yeah. Anyway, this book is a very good book. You make sure you read through it. I think the printing come out a bit small for old people. Not easy to read. For young people, okay. Do we have any more copy? Yes. Tell me. You take for your mom also. Your mom. So last Thursday, you look at the whiteboard. The four circle. We talk about how from the source. The mundane mind and the pure mind, the pure awareness, then the phenomenal world of consciousness. How creation start. This is on page 94, the new book. You turn to page 94, you can see them. So if you read it from page 94, it's clearer, easier to understand. Managed to get it? This one? You look at the four circle. I will explain this four circle first before we have the meditation, so that it's easy. The first circle is stated in the circle Buddha nature. Buddha nature is actually also the oneness nature. Then from there, that is the source, the beginning of all things. So, from there, the oneness nature or the source, the first thing that come out is that true mind, the pure awareness, that pure mind. But this one, you need a form and mind to come. Without the form and mind, you cannot have that true mind, the gateway to your nature. So, this true mind is the gateway to your
true nature, which is your Buddha nature. Yeah. Then from that true mind, which is the pure awareness, you start to use it to create consciousness through your physical senses in the body. Then after you create the physical senses, mundane consciousness, this mundane consciousness created the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why you have the external form. So this mundane mind becomes the knower. The knower becomes the living being, because people are deluded. They don't have the understanding that this mundane mind is impermanent, lead to suffering. Because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It does not belong to you. That's why it's empty, non-self. So if you deludedly cling, then this mundane mind, you will think that it is you. And this one becomes the knower, because the mundane mind is a thinking mind, the thought. You think this fellow can know a lot of things. That's why the knower becomes a living being. So it's just like you exist. Then this human being or living being can know things. Then after that, you created the five aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, the mundane mind, is the one that travel in space and time via karma, through karmic nature's law. Every birth, every death, you have one segment of your life. Then this segmented life continues to repeat itself. That's why every of this segment that you come, none of them are you. You can be born as a human, certain life, as a devas, or as a non-human, maybe animals or whatever. But all this, none of them are you. Since the beginningless time, eons and eons ago, you have been born into this existential world for countless birth and death. So this countless birth and death, so many of that, which one is you? None of them are you. So that is the wisdom you need to realize when you meditate. Then the external manifestation of the mundane mind, created via mental consciousness, create the external phenomenal world. That's how the phenomenal world, the existence, everything like real already. When you open your eye, your seeing consciousness, all the color, shape and form, everything that you come to see within your field of vision, that phenomenal world of seeing consciousness like real to you, it exists, it arises already. Then likewise hearing consciousness. That's why in the TV series, you often heard of this saying, the world of sight and sound. Sight and sound. Because you can see the beautiful world, then you can hear the beautiful vibration, music and all those things. Of course, there are also vibration and all those things which are very negative. Then you have your senses, other senses like your smell, your taste, your tactile, then your thought, consciousness. So these are the six sense doors that created the phenomenal world of consciousness. Without the senses, the mind or the pure awareness cannot create consciousness. You need the senses. That's why the three things must be there. The organ, the sense data, and the mind. Then these three must come into contact for it to trigger off sense door consciousness, like the physics experiment. The moment you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up of the light bulb is like you become conscious. Then you can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these are the six type of respective sense door consciousness that the mundane mind arise. And through that, it created the phenomenal world.
Okay. So once you understand this, you turn to page 243. Page 243 is the Trinity, the triangle. So this is the one that can help you understand everything and develop the meditation. So 243, you look at the triangle. Up there, the sea. Look at the sea. Eh? The sea is actually the pure awareness, the first thing that come out from the source. Yeah. So pure awareness or pure consciousness, then behind it is the oneness. Understand? Yeah. So this oneness is also the essence of mind, the true nature or the original nature, which the Mahayana call 本来的面目, yeah, original nature. Mm. Which is also like the source, beginning of all things. And this one is the unconditioned. It is beyond thought, beyond time, and beyond mind. This one cannot be perceived or sensed, where it cannot come out and live like. It's the unconditioned. So this one you can say is just that nature, the stillness nature, or your silent mind. You understand? So from that nature, because you have a form and mind, the first thing that come out from the nature is the true mind. Then from here, this is like the power source. You understand? That sea, the pure awareness, is like the power source. Then on your right hand side, that triangle, the arrow that shows downward, you read, wow, so small, to create mundane living or experiences. So this one, the S down there, is your senses. So the pure awareness is your true mind, that like power source. Upon contact, it trigger off the mundane mind. The six type of respective mundane consciousness. That's why at the S, you see, mundane thinking mind is the result. Or mundane consciousness. So, sense basis is the S. Which is your body, the physical form. Then this is the five aggregate form of form and mind, the two aspects. This is governed by the law of dependent origination, paticca-samuppada. So this direction you move, you will create mundane living. You understand? Huh? Mundane living. So this one, since birth until now, everybody know, but you don't understand. How it happened. That's why through meditation you can see all this, you can understand all this. But then to meditate, you must go the other direction. To meditate, you must not use thought. You understand? Because you want to realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you have to use the pure awareness, the true mind. That's why from there, you go the left-hand side. Left-hand side, what is written there? Silent mind, direct seeing. With what? Sati, or pure awareness. That's why when you meditate, you have to use the pure mind, the true mind, the pure awareness, or the silent mind. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. That is your meditative mind. That is your true mind. And that is the one that is capable of the direct seeing. See things as they are. Without the conditioning from your brain, your memory, your views, your opinion, and your whatever conditioning. Even your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, all those things, they cannot come in. Because your true mind got no thought, you remember? Silent. Because it's without thought. There is no fear, no worry, no. It's the unconditioned, it's just that nature aware. That's how you develop understanding. Then from the awareness, you let the phenomena tell you the story. You don't go and look for things. The one that want to know is the thought. The one that want to meditate is the thought. That's why all the noting or the whatever verbalization, chattering is all by the thought. That is not meditation. To meditate, you have to be completely silent. And to be silent, you have to relax. Maintain awareness. That's why the meditation is very simple. And if you do that, what do you develop down there? What is that you?
Ah, that is wisdom, understanding. Wisdom born of right view. Wisdom born of the direct seeing. Wisdom born of contemplation, reflection, and the first turning wisdom. That's why yoniso manasikara. So when you are silently aware, you listen. That is true art of listening. You listen attentively. Means you just listen and the thing go in. That is first turning. Then when you reflect, contemplate, means inquire, then that reflection, contemplation, inquiry is the condition for the arising of wisdom. Well, after you hear, not every being has its very strong path, cultivation. The moment you listen, you awaken. Those are rare beings, like Sariputta, Kondanya, after hearing the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then many of the monks, through listening, they can awaken. Then this life also, my nature same. I through listening, I can awaken. I don't need, technically, I don't need teacher. Sometimes the person who recite it, the truth, he may not understand, or she may not understand. But the moment I hear truth, my nature awaken. Like Hui Ning, same. Because they are very, very unique beings. So this is a very important understanding. Then once you have developed the wisdom, this wisdom is part of your form and mind. Do you understand? That's why you look at the horizontal arrow. It connects to the human being, the senses, the form and mind, the five aggregate. This wisdom, when connected, the five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded. Do you understand? That's why this is for true living, noble living. So when you are here with the wisdom connected, then you become enlightened. But that form and mind is not you. Well, that one is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That one come and go, come and go. Karmically conditioned out for you to come to this existence here. It's a vehicle and a tool. And that one is supported by karmic nature. Yeah. But the wisdom part comes from the spiritual nature, from the source, from the pure awareness. Without the pure awareness, the true mind, the silent mind, you can never awaken. You can never develop the direct seeing. That's why the Buddha always says, see things as they are. Not according to what your brain, your memory tell you. Because acting according to memory is not acting at all. You check your memory. What are they? They are full of defilement. What do you accumulate in your memory? Huh? We have gone through so many classes, isn't it? Up on the whiteboard there. Huh? Memory is the accumulation of experiences, isn't it? Good and bad, isn't it? Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your unhappy moment. All this is part of your memory. So when you act according to that, you are acting according to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, and your unhappy moments. So if you act according to that, these are all evil roots. Greed, hatred, and delusion. So that is not acting at all. What you need to understand, you have to act according to what? Up there on the whiteboard. Act according to understanding, which is wisdom. That's why before you awaken, you don't know how to act. So acting according to wisdom is true action. So I don't need views, opinion, and belief system to act. Do you understand? I act because I realize this truth. I had developed the understanding of the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. That's why I will know how to act. And basically, what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Noble Eightfold Path. So you act following Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path, when you have them, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That is what enlightenment is all about. That's how you can free your mind, liberate your mind. So meditation becomes very simple when you understand that. Okay, can follow? Now I go in. Yeah, you read on page 243 down there. A trained mind. You're supposed to train this mundane mind. Understand not? Yeah. Your true mind you cannot train. Do you know why? It's already like that. What is there to train? But the true mind is a nature. It cannot come out and live life. There is not a being. But that one is capable of awakening, direct seeing. Let you understand. Yeah. But to understand, you need the mundane mind so that you can use it to live life, to share, to express it out in words and all those things. So now, to train this mundane mind, I will read to you. A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. Now you understand? Yeah? The first characteristic is what? Silent. Silent means what? No thought. That is the first hallmark of healing. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. That's why that is the meditative mind. That's why the first training is relax, silent. Maintain awareness. Then when you are silent, aware, you have to stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then from there, you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, you become heedful. And when you are aware, silent and heedful, you are always peaceful. Of course, relax will be there. You are always relaxed. Then you are naturally aware within. You don't have to try to be aware. Understand? The trying to be aware is the thought. Trying to be aware. And the thought use thought to be aware. How can thought be aware? You can't. You have to be completely relaxed and silent without thought. That is a trained mind. Then it has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to wisdom, which is needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this one is very important. After you have developed the training, you will have this ability. You are always silent, quiet, peaceful. That's why there is clarity. Yeah. The clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to wisdom. This one is the most important. That's why before the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara come, your mind will stir. Do you understand? Because you don't understand. You want things your way. You will react to it, which is not nature's way. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So if you still want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. That's why you get angry, you get emotional, fearful. The evil root arise. So if you don't have wisdom developed through the silent mind, the awakening, the direct seeing, you can never be in this state. You can only be in this state if you have developed the wisdom. That's why you can be at peace with all situations. So this second aspect is very important. When you have the initial wisdom, you can be at peace at every moment of sense experience, within the moment to live life. Then number three, the trained mind will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will just be silent. If you want it to be peaceful and aware, it will just be so. It's like when you are very skillful in whatever you do, badminton, table tennis or what. You have complete understanding and you are in control, understand? You want it to go baseline, the shuttlecock will go. You want to smash, you smash. You want to retrieve, you can retrieve. So once you become skillful, the mind is trained, it listens to you. Like when you want to meditate, you just relax and aware. It will listen to you. But if you are not trained, what happens? You try to meditate. the whole brain activity start thinking heedless. All the mental hindrance come in. That's why you cannot meditate. And the Buddha said, you need to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty. Otherwise, the mental hindrance will always be there. So, don't fight the hindrance. Develop the spiritual faculty. Then this mundane mind will naturally settle down. Because when you have faith, sadha, virya, your mind becomes calm, composed. No longer restless, agitated. No more doubt. Then you maintain sati, the third spiritual faculty. Sati means what? Silent. Aware. Don't do anything. Then the mind will stabilize to become samadhi. Then it can see things as they are through sati and samadhi. That's how you develop wisdom. You awaken. So the spiritual faculty, once it's there, you are naturally in a meditative state. Because your sati is the silent mind. Your mind will be automatically trained. That's why I say when you have spiritual faculty, technically you don't need to train your mind. You don't need to have a method and a technique. You don't need to do anything. Okay? Then the next one. You can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. This is most important. Eh? Then the next point is, it will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. Then the next one is, a trained mind is ever mindful, constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. That's why the heedful never die. That is what the Buddha meant. Eh? Once you have trained this mind, it is ever mindful and constantly meditative, which is heedful. And this is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. That's why you are destined for enlightenment. Next page. An untrained mind, which is the opposite of the first one. What is the untrained mind? I believe most of you, before you know the Dhamma, you will be very familiar with this. An untrained mind is heedless. Agree or not? Think a lot. Worry. Have a lot of problem. Restless. It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience. And is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So this is very clear. The second point is, this is the best. This one I create one. It is like a devil's workshop. And it will make you very evil. You know, devil are evil beings. Isn't it? Because when you are not trained, you don't even know what the three evil root is. You become heedless. The mental hindrance take over and condition the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And you somehow think that you're a hell of a great and famous or grand. Then you created evil and havoc. That's why you are like a devil. So it's a devil's workshop, untrained mind. Yeah? So you want to be a devil, you don't have to be heedful. Don't train. Do what you like. Free for all. Number three. You have no control over that mundane mind. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you suffering. True or not? Instead of making use of the mundane mind, which is your thought process, to serve you, what do you allow the mundane mind to do? That fellow climb over your head and control you. Tell you this, tell you that. This guy did this to you, remember? Get angry with him. Or plot against him. That's how you go and do all those things. Then you teach you how to be selfish. Hey, you stupid. That money, free money, you know. You don't know how to take. See, people all take. You listen to that mundane mind, you become evil. That's how that mundane mind has power over you. You have no control over it. It actually controls you and takes over you, your life, causing you misery and suffering, cause your karmic nature to fall. Number four. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. So this one, you have to remember. you don't train the true mind. The true mind is beyond the unconditioned, no need to train. But the mundane mind you have to train. Once that one is silent, the true mind will arise. Otherwise, that one cloud the nature, prevent you from being aware of your true mind. Then deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence causing you suffering. These are easy to understand. Before you know the Dhamma, you always have all this emotion, anger, selfishness, emotion, and fear. Then the last one is, it has no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it is deluded. Then 6.3, training the mind. This particular appendix 6 is very important. How do you train the mind? Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who we are, what we are, and how our mind functions, so that we understand what causes of suffering, and how our deluded mundane mind gets muddled up in life. That is meditation, to be aware, to see all this, to see how your mundane mind condition you into negativity, heedlessness, and create all the suffering. And when you see all this, you start to develop the understanding and you straighten your view. And that's how wisdom arises. Initial wisdom also very powerful already, yoniso manasikara. That's why you must constantly listen to Dhamma, constantly reflect, contemplate and inquire to stabilize your wisdom. Then once you have the yoniso manasikara developed, you look at the Avijja Sutta, you are already in step 4. Then after that, the natural consequence is step 5. Well, once you have the initial wisdom, it will allow your mind to have more stability. You will not react to sense experience like last time. The like and dislike, present and unpleasant, they will start to become less and less until finally no more. Because whenever you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel or think of something through sense or experience, when you are active in life, at the moment of sense experience, you will not stir your mind because this yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of sense experience, they will prompt you, they will come out. Instead of reacting to it, you will have this right view, telling you, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Yeah. Then, straight away, that one does not stir, does not react. Condition like that, things be like that. You can accept the reality of the moment. That is the initial wisdom that will make you more at peace. When you are more at peace, you have more and more moments of peace, silent, space between thought. That's how you are able to develop your sati sampajana, daily mindfulness with clear comprehension. Because there is clarity. The mind does not react like before. So step 5 of Avijja Sutta will be the natural consequence. That's why you must constantly listen to Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and develop all this. Then once you start to see all this, you straighten your view. When your view are straightened, the initial wisdom is there. Then after that, you are ready to receive truth, to Bhavana Maya Panya, third turning wisdom. At any time you can awaken, whether first turning, second turning, or third turning. That one is very penetrative. Then I read on, point number 4. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of the 5 mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. These mental hindrances will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. And to overcome the 5 mental hindrances, one only need to cultivate the opposite 5 spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, as taught by the Buddha. So always remember, don't go and fight the mental hindrance. Don't go and deludedly say, anger is me. No such thing. So sensual desire, you will miss. These are the stirring of the mind, the reaction of the mind, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then when you lack wisdom, you have doubt. When you lack faith, you also have doubt. Then when you break your precept, you will have restlessness of mind. Then when you don't understand the importance of this meditative training of the mind, you will be sleepy. You will have sloth and torpor when you meditate. Sleepiness, lethargic mind and all those things. So these five mental hindrances, they are there because of your lack of the opposite five spiritual faculty. So don't fight them. Don't do anything to them. Let them arise. Then train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty. Once the spiritual faculty is there, you will be in the meditative state naturally, where all the five mental hindrances will cease. That's why you have to develop it. Saddha and Virya are very easy. Through knowing who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful his teaching is. So you will develop the faith. Then it will drive you to cultivate. Then Sati, once the Virya is there, you will go all out to cultivate. And with my teaching, sharing, you just relax, silent and aware. Sati will come. It will stabilize. That is what meditation is all about. Then the next point is very important. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone. And the mind will be trained automatically. That is why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty via your puja, devotional practices, and daily religious routine. Because all this is to keep you constantly on the training, the daily mindfulness. If you don't do the puja, the devotional practice, the spiritual faculty cannot come. Then you don't have a daily religious routine to develop your training of daily mindfulness. Sati sampajana cannot stabilize. If you don't have the daily religious routine to constantly listen to Dhamma, then develop the first and second turning wisdom. Reflect, contemplate, and inquire. You can never progress. So this is the most important. A good religious routine, which include the puja, daily puja, daily devotional practice, and daily meditative training. We call it the religious routine. Then after that, the last one is the three phases of Dhamma. Pariyati, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. So these are through listening to the Dhamma, reading, or research through internet. Then you develop the understanding. Then when you understand, you cultivate, it becomes very easy. Second phase of Dhamma is Patipatti. This is the cultivation part. We are putting the Dhamma learned into cultivation or practice in daily life so that it can become a living reality. So you develop that, you become enlightened, then you have phase 3, Pativeda, the fruit of your hard work or reaping the fruit of all hard work or cultivation. Then you get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. Okay? Then after that, the three turnings, you have to read through them, the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, how they are connected to the three phases of Dhamma cultivation. Then towards the end, at the bottom of page 245, this is the most beautiful phase of one's life where one can truly live life to the fullest, leading a noble life of an enlightened one, living the life of an awakened one. Then after that, next page, importance of sati, all this you go and read. They are all very useful. Then 6.6 is also very useful. This one, the Buddha's five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negative mind state during meditation. 6.5 also very important. Then the note under 6.5 is also very useful. The pitfalls of thought-based meditation is one is limited by the instrument that one uses to develop the meditation, hence the inability to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought and beyond mind. One need to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is the meditator. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, labeling, chattering, and trying to describe the Dhamma and the meditation, and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. The real Dhamma can only be realized when you are truly silent. So this one is very important. Then using the silent mind, which is Samasati, mindfulness. When the mind is silent without thought, you will understand everything that is going on within your form and mind, the five aggregates of form and mind. And you will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. You will understand how upon contact consciousness come to be, and then how within the content of consciousness, you will see how your mind stir after you input your mental intention born of wrong view. Then how upon contact the seven universals which are common to all consciousness arises simultaneously. The feeling part, you will feel it clearly, and you will understand how upon contact feeling arises. But because you don't have wisdom, or you lack yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, feeling will immediately condition into craving. Hence, without wisdom or yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut a feeling. So those people who teach you cut a feeling, forget about it unless you have already developed the understanding. You will see all this within your meditation, and that is the real direct seeing. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this condition arising mind, the stirring of the mind, and the reactive mind are not your true mind. They arise because of your wrong view. And this is your mundane mind. See it clearly. Eh? Then the Four Noble Truths, one by one, you will come to understand them. You will come to understand the reality of life and existence, what is suffering, and the cause behind its arising. Then the seven universal mental factors are listed now there, yeah? In both Pali and English. Yeah? In Pali, it's called Sapa Chitta Sadharana Chetasikas. Sadharana is common to all. Sabbacitta is all consciousness. They perform the most rudimentary and essential cognitive function without which consciousness of an object would be impossible. And the seven universals are number one, contact, pasat, then feeling, vedana, then sanya, which is perception, then chetena, which is mental intention or volition. Then ekagata is the one-pointedness. Then jivi indriya, the life faculty. And the last one is manasikara, attention. So these are the seven universal. Yeah? Okay, the rest you can go and read. Huh? Then appendix 8 is avijja sutta. Huh? They are all there. And Dhammapada verse 153-154 is about the house builder. Huh? Also very interesting. So with this, hopefully, huh, you will understand what meditation is. That's why in a way it's a blessing in disguise. Huh? Our retreat will be postponed to a later date. We see how. Because after I cover all this in the Tuesday, Thursday class, you will understand a lot better. Then when you go up, this time you meditate, you become very different. You will have the understanding, the faith, and you will go into it very fast. And based on the appendix 6, that is what you need to know. How to train the mind? Very simple. Through the understanding of the four circle, page 94, and combine it with the Trinity chart for understanding meditation. So these two will give you the understanding. Then you read Appendix 6, you will understand very easily. And this is very clear. Last time when I shared this, I think hardly anybody understand. Because that time, the consciousness has not reached the level that is today. But no problem. In fact, now it's better. Now you can understand really deep. How many of you really have read this Appendix 6 before? Before you come to this class? Nobody. And Appendix 6 has been there for very long. And this Appendix 6 was shared in the Sunday class. That's why we added in Sunday class a lot of good teaching. Then Tuesday class also. And Thursday class is more meditation and Q&A. That's why all the three classes are different, cater for different purpose. So that you combine all the three, you learn very fast. Sunday there is a Mahayana temple, Wu Ping Ching Se. That's why more Mahayana teaching are taught there. And Mahayana teaching actually can be understood using Theravada teaching. It's nothing esoteric or very difficult. That's why a lot of people don't understand. There is no difference technically between Theravada and Mahayana. The difference comes from the follower who don't understand. If you understand, you read Theravada, the teaching is there. And with Theravada, you can understand all the Mahayana teaching, no problem. That's what I did. And the Maya teaching come to me on its own. The book come, the guide come, the teacher come, everything come. Then this life I purposely choose to come in this way. Not only as a lay person, I choose English language as my medium of instruction. But when I was young, I knew I need to know Mandarin. So I make that very important decision. If ever I were to get married, my wife must know Mandarin. Otherwise, I won't marry. Everything just falls into place. Very funny. Then the moment when I'm ready, I just move. Then after I understand the Theravada teaching, when the Mahayana teaching come or any teaching come, my nature can understand. No problem at all. So this is the aspect that I want you to understand. The purpose of my this nature's coming this life is a fewfold. I think Maitreya knew, that's why he invited me to come out and share this true Dhamma. And I realize the present world Buddhist community, there is a deep lack of somebody who knows English to teach to the Theravada tradition and allow them to have the understanding to link back to the Mahayana tradition. They are actually one teaching, but human mind divide into Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. Actually, they are all just one. From the Four Noble Truths, they came. Okay? So, we will stop the sharing here. Then, you can have 20 minutes of meditation. Okay, we are off the light. Then, based on this understanding, just relax, maintain awareness, and let your mind slow down and silent. Then, stabilize it. That is meditation. You want to lie down also can, easier. You can sit, you sit, but you must know how to relax. Relax body and mind completely. Don't worry about the mind doing or not doing. Don't try to know.
When you don't try to know, you settle down very fast. The understanding will come by itself when you already develop the ability to connect to your true mind, your silent mind. That is what meditation is all about. Okay? Okay, you can start your meditation.
attention, just relax, maintain awareness. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, turn to page 6. We will recite the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo
Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anuterang penyakitang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripa Jap. Bedang Pajami Damang Pajami Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Then maintain some of attention. We'll continue with the second session, meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, question and answer, Q&A reporting. Anybody want to report meditation or ask any question? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Just now the sharing of the page 94 and 243, is it clear? Is it clear? If it's clear, then very good. Means you have the understanding. Anybody want to report meditation? If you don't report, I don't know what you do. You report, then I can guide you. You just, okay. My daughter, Pastor Sui. Just have to describe exactly how you go through the meditation.
Hi.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Just a sharing. Today, the meditation, it's one thing that I felt was that actually meditation and no meditation is the same. When we walk in the door, when we go out the door, when we sit down here, when the lights are on, when the lights are
sadu.
Off. Actually, this is still another piece of life. Nothing changed. It's the same. So however we feel when the lights are off is actually how we carry ourselves during the day as well. And it's just a more conducive time for us to observe what captures our attention. Like just now, there was one point a plane landed. It's like the whole room filled with the vibration. It became very obvious because it's so quiet. That was my experience for
very
the sitting.
Thank you. Sadhu. So all this can happen when you have that training, the stability. That's why she can tell you it's actually whether you are in a meditative state or you are in the daily life, if you can have the same experience, it's your daily life, you already in a meditative state. That one is not easy to do. Very few people can do that. That one means your mindfulness is really very stable. And you are most of the time aware, then that type of mind is no different from when you are meditating. When you meditate, the conditions are more conducive, that's it. Then there is more clarity. That's why I can describe to you the plane landing and other things. Because the mind is very quiet, very peaceful, very sensitive, and has the ability to experience that type of consciousness. So when it's landing, the vibration, like the whole place, light up. So you can have that sensation, that feeling, that awareness within. Then your mind is most of the time very quiet. It's just the awareness that is observing. But if most of the time your mind is lost in thought,
chattering, verbalizing, then reacting to sense experience. The other one is you talk to yourself a lot. Then you are heedless. You have not trained your mind. Meditation is to develop the ability to silence, to train your mind, so that you can be in the meditative state all the time. The form of meditation is to stabilize this, so that when you come out of it, you can be in that state. So to do that, your mind must enter sati when you are in the form of meditation. You cannot do it in the form of meditation, you don't stand a chance when you come out. Well, when you come out of it, your senses are fully engaged, your sixth sense, especially when you are back to daily life. Your senses are active, engaging, and they move very fast. Without mindfulness, you cannot go, you cannot really follow, you don't know what is going on. Most of the time, you have this habitual tendency. You just react. And everything you do is like mechanical, habitual. Even your thinking habit, if you are observant, you can see them. They are all established as a pattern where you are just the way you are. But the moment you start to develop the understanding, the awareness, then you start to see all this, understand all this, then when you straighten your view, when you decide to make a difference to your life, then you change. And that change is inwardly. Inwardly there is an understanding that led to that change. And that is the beginning of transformation. If you don't change inwardly, you cannot change outwardly. We are the inside, decide the outside. Then without the inner awareness, the silent mind, you cannot understand. You don't know what is going on. That's why meditation is just a silent mind in silent observation of the reality, of the way things are. How things arise, how things sustain itself, and how things cease. The condition behind all this. You will understand. No need to remember anything. And the understanding, because it's a wisdom, is always with your nature. What I mean is that life, that form and mind, once connected, whatever wisdom that is developed will be there. You don't worry about forgetting it. It's not a knowledge. That's why I say don't try to remember anything. When you have awakened, means the understanding is with your nature. Then when you confront certain things, you will know what to do because the understanding is there. But that understanding can be stabilized until very, very stable. Through reflection, contemplation, through understanding it deeply, clearly. You can only do that while you are in the midst of life. That's why when you have that transformation, the wisdom, the understanding, then subsequent understanding keep on unfolding. Life itself is your greatest teacher. You learn so much thing from life. Everything you see is Dhamma. Everything you see can teach you many things. Then your virtue, your understanding, all this transform. That's how you become different. Transformation happens when you have developed the understanding and the wisdom. Personality-wise, character-wise, and your wisdom-wise, understanding-wise, all this will come in to transform you as a human being, as a living being. You are no longer like what you used to be.
before the Dhamma sets in, before you develop the clear understanding. That's why transformation happens within. Without the wisdom, there is no real transformation. That's why Dhamma knowledge cannot free you. You need the real awakening. The moment you awaken, you don't have to remember anything. That nature will have the understanding. That form and mind, that life, all the time, it will have the understanding. That's how it will know what to do. Whatever that arises, it will know what to do. That's why no more suffering. That form and mind cannot suffer anymore. No more delusion. It's always at peace. With the moment. With the reality. With the way things are. Everything is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. That's why you will go back to suchness. Ta-ta-ta. Condition like that. Things will like that. Then you realize how beautiful the wisdom of the Buddha is. What he teaches is very simple. We have all heard about it. We have all read about it. Like the opening verse of Dhammapada, verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Do you know how profound those statements were? I still remember the first time I read this Dhammapada verse, or I heard about it, I straight away inside my heart, oh, this is so beautiful. Who can I explain to you? Who are you? What are you? Straight away he pointed towards that mind. The mundane mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When this mind arises, all things arise. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness. This one comes to be. The existential world comes to be. So when this mundane mind arises, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When this one arises, this one arises. So if you do not understand this, you don't know how to live life. If this is the one responsible for all the creation, what must you do? What must you do? You must take care of this mind. That's why the Buddha say, if you know mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, when this arise, all things arise. So the Buddha, in the first verse, tell you, if you do not train your mind, you will get into trouble. Suffering will follow you. Why? Because you are heedless. Then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how your karmic downfall. That's how suffering will follow you. Like the hoof that follow the wheel of the carts. Very powerful statement. But if you understand this and you determine to change, to transform, then what must you do? You train your mind. Develop the ability to be heedful, to be aware. Then only can you act correctly, act with understanding and wisdom. Then how do you act? You act with a pure mind. That has the wisdom, the understanding. That is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happens? Happiness will follow you. Like your shadow that never leaves you. So life becomes very simple. It's your choice. It's your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. So choose wisely. So do you choose Dhammapada verse 1 or Dhammapada verse 2? Definitely, isn't it? With this, life becomes very simple. The moment you train your mind to be heedful, the Buddha said you are destined for enlightenment. So what is so difficult about the Dhamma? Choose to be heedful. That's why train your mind. Silence your mind, relax, aware. Let it return to its original state. Finish. You already home. you are already peaceful, aware. Realize your true mind in the state of sati. That stabilize it to be ever mindful. Until the mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it, that mindfulness is with you. That awareness is with you. Every moment in life, your seeing consciousness is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile. Everything is in sati. That's why the mind doesn't wander off. Doesn't think anymore. It's just aware. 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 That's why in the meditation I always tell you, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't try to know. Don't let that thought proliferate. Go into a train of thinking. When you are lost in thought, you are no longer aware. You are not with your silent mind, your true mind. You cannot understand what is going on within the moment. You have to be completely silent and still. Then the awareness is there, the understanding is there. It's just like when you are paying attention. Remember the example I gave on the Sunday Wu Pingjing sharing? There's a video, I think, Jin Hao produced it. Understanding sati, attention, and inattention, remember. I use the word attention because it's easier for you to understand. When you are paying attention, what do you do? Yeah? When you are paying attention, you are attentively listening. There is no thought in it. You are attentive. You are silent. But the moment you start to think or create chattering or comment about what you hear, you are no longer paying attention. You are already lost in thought. I remember this when I was in school. Yeah, every time we have to copy notes, isn't it? Yeah? The lecturer would teach or the teacher would teach. Then we try to copy notes. Yeah, it's all on the whiteboard. After she finished, the next moment, no more space, she will rub. She won't wait for you. So because of that, you listen and you write. And I realize the moment I write, I'm not listening. You realize that or not? So finally, I prefer not to write. I just listen. Then I tell my classmate, you copy all the notes. Yeah, I copy first, he say. So that I go back, I have the notes, he say. Then only I will try to remember what he teach. Good. I say, I listen. Then I go back. Anything you don't know, you ask me. Because he copy, I listen. Then when I look at the notes, I know what he is trying to tell me. But as you copy, you are not listening. That's why you cannot learn. The art of listening is attentively listen. Don't try to know. Listen. Pay attention. When you are not paying attention, means you are lost in thought. So attention is a good word. That's why that night I share. Awareness of inattention is attention. When you are aware that you are not paying attention, means what? You are lost in thought, trying to copy the notes. Well, when you are copying the note, your attention is on writing the note, isn't it? Yeah. Otherwise, when you try to pay attention, both sides you think you can multitask, your spelling also wrong one. The note come out also, some of the word wrong one. Because you are not paying attention. But when you have the understanding already, then it's different. I realized later on, Form 5, when I become very good in the subject, math and science, where I read ahead. Then sometimes the teacher, the physics teacher, teach wrongly also, I know. Then there was one occasion, I think, he was trying to explain something, but it took him one whole period, I think, I don't know, 30 minutes or 40 minutes to explain that physics term and concept. Then, because I understand, I look at it, then I laugh. And because I laugh, my classmate who sat next to me, he said, why you laugh? I said, that one, no need go, that one. I said, from the definition, the answer come out already. He also laughed. He laughed louder than me. Then the physics teacher, Mr. Kang, he he knew something not right. Then after that, he rushed off and he finished. You know. Then he asked the class, you know, understood? Everybody keep quiet. You know. Then he said, just now you all were laughing. What was it? Then my classmate sit next to me. I said, he said, Ken Kun say, no need all this one. He said, definition, answer, come out. Everybody look at me. Even the physics teacher also look at me. Then he know, because he know I'm good at physics and all the math and science. He said, can you come out and explain? So I went out, I recite the definition. I said, because of this, this is equal to this. This is what you are trying to explain over the last half an hour. He still cannot understand me. The class also, 80% cannot understand, cannot follow. Until I have to slow down and explain again. And step by step. Then only finally, they see the point. So, when you reach that level of understanding, you no need to write the note, copy what the lecturer wrote. Understand? After I understand already, after he finished, I just write a few sentences, finish. That is the gist of it, the summary of it. That's why I seldom write all those notes. I only write notes when I feel that it's useful, important. So, learning something, you need to pay attention first. And I like to listen first. Then if I listen, I cannot understand, means two things. That person who share or teach has higher understanding than me, or he, whatever he share is not in accordance. Only this two things. But the funny thing is, if he has higher understanding than me, I will know. Yeah, I will know what he share, what he teach is something I haven't heard before. But it's very beautiful. That's why I can learn very fast. Even though I haven't heard before. If it's the truth, I can understand very fast. I can learn. Then I know this person has higher wisdom than me. Then I will attend the class. I will listen. That's how I learn. But if those who speak in such a way, then my nature know that they don't have that understanding yet, then no point. My nature will just quietly walk out or leave that place. Then sometimes, benefit of the doubt. Where they used to tell me last time, wow, this monk very good, that monk very good. So I say, okay, we can go. We can go and listen. At first, 10, 15 minutes, maybe I thought, not fair to the teacher or the monk. Listen until 45 minutes, or still nothing. Then I say, hey, go for teh tarik. Oh, everybody agree. We all went for teh tarik. Then only we discuss at the teh tarik. Then they start to understand. Because now, I mean, during that time, that bash was with me on. After a while with me, they start to understand what truth is. And when they listen, it's not just Dhamma. It's not just the word. Because there is the understanding already. So it's very different. Meditation is the same. If you understand what is attention, you will understand what is sati. When you are aware without thought, you are actually paying attention. But the difference is, do you know what the difference between sati and attention are? This listening, paying attention and listening, is part of sati, but it's not really sati. Sati is just aware before the knowing. But the listening attentively is listen, perceive, continue to listen. You understand? No? That listening is with understanding. Means you keep on perceiving, perceiving, perceiving. There is not much gap. Just listen. But the awareness in meditation, you don't have to perceive anything. Even if you want to perceive, aware, perceive,
finish. Aware, perceive, finish. You are not like listening. That's why sometimes during meditation, you remember I asked you to return to your heart. Remember? Go back to your heart. Listen from there. How many of you have tried? Ah, very good. If you listen from there, do you know what happened? Huh? Initially, like there is a gap on. Because you every time listen from your brain. Your brain has all the memory, the concept, everything. You listen, a lot of knowledge going on. But you listen from the heart. You realize the word sometimes missing one. But from here, it's just aware. But the real understanding is that vibration that goes in when you are aware here, that is the real listening. And actually, the wisdom went in already. The vibration went in, your nature received already. Yeah. Then without you knowing, you continue to listen from here, then after a while, you don't need the brain to really listen. No. You can listen from your heart. But it takes a while, I remember. It takes me about a few months to stabilize all this. And finally, I can listen from the heart. No. And when I listen from the heart, it's not the words. No. It's the vibration and the understanding coming in. No. Very different. Then that time I realized, because the brain is up here, that when your awareness is not at the brain, it does not create thought. No. Understand? No? Your thought is respond to what? Memory. All your memory is here. Yeah. And do you realize, as a human being, our face, above is the brain. Below are all your senses. No? Do you realize? Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, and your tactile, they are all below the brain. And the most often used one is the see, the hearing. Then, of course, the smell and the tongue is lower down. But the eye and the ear is very near the brain. Do you realize? Because this is the one that interacts with the brain a lot. And initially, before you have that sati, awareness, or the ability to be mindful, you will use the brain a lot. But later on, as you transform, as your awareness nature shine forth, then you hardly use your brain. You listen from your heart. Everything is from your heart. Your heart is where your conscience is, where your nature is, where your understanding is. Then it becomes very different. Yeah. Then the listening all become very different. Then when you meditate, you just lie down, thunk, go to the heart straight away. Then you become so sensitive. The doctor needs stethoscope. You don't need. The awareness straight away detect. Yeah. Then wherever you locate your awareness, it can detect. Even the brain, which part, what is going on. Then within your whole body, which part you want to understand. You just silence everything and feel within. All the vibration, everything, and the inner movement activity. Or that's why I'm very sensitive. I know which part not okay and not correct. With the mindfulness, you can have that sensitivity, that ability to be aware. And it can also heal you. Because when you go to your gateway, when the pure energy melts in, it actually helps you to heal. But once the pure energy has been with this form and mind for the last 31 years already, 89, until 2020, 31 years. It's like, if you are a child, you came out from the village, you don't have much food. Yesterday we have our classmate dinner. Oh, not yesterday. Wednesday. Oh yeah, yesterday Wednesday. Do you know what we were discussing? As students, we were from rural area, hometown. We got one classmate, Ken Kok. He said, before he come to university, one day can have one piece of bread, a really good breakfast.
So when we went to the college first year, free flow of the bread. He one day take 6 slices. He said that was real food. And he really ate. He really consumed them because it never before. Never before. Then the half-boiled egg, the butter, the kaya, the peanut butter, all free flow. Then one day, 5 meals. So breakfast, tea break, 10 o'clock, lunch, afternoon, tea again, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, dinner. Then can play badminton, play everything. So what happened is, when you have all this ability, yeah, to have this, I put on weight very fast. So first year, I remember I was 95 pounds. I straight away hit 109 within the first 2 months. Then after that, my weight remained until I graduate. Yeah. Then after I graduate, again within 2-3 months, I shoot out to 132 pounds, which is about 62 kg. And my weight remained until I went for angio. After I went for angio, the doctor said, target 5 kilo down. I no need to target. I just don't take supper. I straight away drop from 62 to 57. Until now, 57 kg. I had to ask you, how did I come to this? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Sick for one. What I'm trying to tell you is that time I got nothing to eat. Not so conducive. But once I come to MU with all the good food, straight away you shoot up. Because ho sick, ho chi, ho fun. Then everything is there. So after I develop that, then I plateau off until I graduate. You know. Then after I graduate, you know why I put on the next phase of weight. Because that time as an engineer, no need to study really. You know. No need to do you know when you study, you consume a lot of energy. You know. I ate chop fun, ka fun, everything. You know, and I still hungry. You know. In morning, take half boiled egg, everything. You know. I need a lot of food, I realized. But I never get fat on. I stay with that weight. Then exam time, your weight normally go down. I remember these 2 girls from Terengganu. I think Mifong, you know. That Chan and Saw from Terengganu, one, the 2. Saw Wee Chong, isn't it? 2 men. Then they got these 2 ladies also from Terengganu one. When I saw them, slim. After exam, still slim. Go back 3 months later, like Christy come back. Oh, really? And they really slim down during the study period. I saw them. That's why I cannot recognize. The next year, when the term reopened, I was with Sovi Chong there. Then I saw these 2 ladies. You know. They said, so different, the 2. Yeah. So Poyok is like that. First time you receive that like multivitamin or what, you really help everything improve very fast. But after that, when you are used to that already, that one doesn't help you anymore. You somehow eat and say po also no use. You stagnate there. And so this pure energy is like that, I remember 31 years ago. When I located at the gateway, I relax, I silent. And within 19 months, my Monday might collapse. But before that, within 1 week or so, actually the first day when I located the gateway, when I went in, I was still, completely still, my body. Like the vibration all become so fine. It's like a car, perfectly tuned until no more sound. You can imagine when the car is perfectly tuned until no more of that engine sound. Do you understand? Like the hybrid car now. Hybrid car. There is not an engine. You know what is that or not? That one is a motor. Very soothing.
everything that I used to have, I heal during that time. Oh. Then whenever I, like after long driving, I tired, I just rest 10 to 15 minutes, I recover. Oh. Or whenever I have, like they call, what, sneezing on it, you call it allergy, I don't know what. Oh. Sinusitis. So once a while, I will be hit with this. Because when I was young, I think we all not enough oxygen. 8 or 9 of us, brother and sister, we together with my mother, sleep in one room, 10 by 10. Can you imagine? 10 by 10 with a raised platform on it. So not enough oxygen. Then also the breathing not like normal child. I used to like have a lot of mucus and all those things. Then actually they told me I have this haiku. What is haiku? Asthmatic. Oh, actually I think I was having that when I was young. I didn't know. But I endure through. Then when I went to college, all these things stabilized because I have the food. Then later on, after I graduate, because no need to study, I put on weight again. Then I play less badminton, exercise less also. So off and on, I always drive back a lot of stuff, sometimes jam and all those things. So I need to rest. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'm like normal, can drive again. Then I can. But later on, I realize I have to rest half an hour. Then later on, 1 hour. But when I have this sinus thing, when it hit me so badly for a few days, actually, people cannot endure. But I only need one complete night rest. When I sleep early, completely rest. Of course, I take antihistamine, it helps. Yeah. Then I sleep. The next morning, completely cure. Yeah. Completely cure. Yeah. Even until today, same. You can see me like, wow. Hell break loose already, everything. Now you talk about sneezing, everybody panic. But recently, it doesn't affect me anymore. I don't know why. So, that thing, because I know how to silence and go in, then it helps. But after 31 years, that pure energy I so used to it, then if I can still fall sick, please don't expect this body to be a hero. Body is still a body. Because after you have the pure energy, you still fall sick. Means like the super bug. They mutated already. Understand? Means pure energy also, they can overcome already. So body is still a body. Always remember that. But with that, I felt that I was a lot more healthy. A lot more healthy. I was healthier than when I was younger. Yes. Yeah, come. yeah. Let Sui share.
I was just looking at this throughout the class. So what I wanted to share was that the mundane mind and this world that we think we exist in, the our perception of the world, when I looked at this, it was like this, looking at this. And then this is when we say it's such a cruel world. Why is people doing this to each other? Or why is this? Well, it's so beautiful. People just help without asking for anything in return. So this is the perspective we have of the world at different times. We're constantly creating our perception of the world. This is what we're doing every day, every moment. And then there are glimpses of time when this happens, when you see the world through these eyes, no matter what is happening, what the people are saying, you just say, oh, how wonderful it is to be alive.
Yeah. You appreciate life. That one is very true. After you transform, you will have that understanding. Do you know what she is trying to share with you? Before you have the wisdom, when you are using your mundane mind without understanding, you always perceive the world with negativity. Like now, COVID-12, politics or whatever, you always say, how can this fellow go back door, front door, every door? You perceive it with that thing. But when you have the understanding, you do not use the brain, the knowledge, the views, the opinion, and the conditioning. Then you appreciate life. From here, you understand that this nature and this mundane mind is different. Then you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Do you follow? Then you appreciate life. Every moment, every instant, life is so meaningful, beautiful, because you have the understanding. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. That's why you will know how to perceive things with wholesomeness, no more negativity. That's why you got no more suffering, no more problem. Do you understand? Then everything is like very pristine, very meaningful, very beautiful. There is so much joy. Like I told you, I got nothing to do. I sit in my house. I look at my house. There is so much joy, so much gratitude. Then when people do good, or there is wholesomeness, this nature will rejoice. Then this nature look at the world with complete understanding. No need to go and complain, why Trump like that, why did follow like that. Then why China did all those things. Now, on the high side, people look back, China did a great job. No other government can do. Even the American Neil Castor also commented, who can build hospital in 10 days functioning? And he cracked a joke. You know, he's an American journalist or newscaster. He said, in America, lay one cable take more than 10 days. He said, how to finish one hospital in 10 days? So these are the things that you can observe in life. Then when you have the Dhamma, when you observe again, you become different. You perceive things differently. No more with the views, opinion, and the conditioning from the delusion. Then you don't complain so much. Do you realize? Who complain? Huh? The deluded one complain a lot, isn't it? The suffering one complain a lot, isn't it? Why do they complain? They are not happy. They are not happy. Otherwise, they won't complain, isn't it? When you expect to be promoted, your friend or colleague get promoted, you complain or not? When you complain, means you don't have the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you should rejoice for, wow, he very lucky. What a great guy. Must be good karma. Learn from him. How did he get promoted? But sometimes they go and grease people on that one different. Don't learn that one. You learn that one, you get into big trouble. So you learn the correct observation. You see how people come out and how people become successful. But not all successful people have the Dhamma. Most successful people have willpower and good merits. Do you realize? Good merits. You look at Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, because of their generosity, parami. Every life they come, they make so much money and they donate back so much money. Then they have very clear mind, very strong willpower. That's why they can do great things. But politician different. Politician is a different breed. Like Mahathir, also very strong willpower. So when the will is very strong, you remember the four bases of success or not? That one is using willpower. Do you remember the four bases? The first one is chanda. What is chanda? Passion. You must have passion in what you do. Then you will do well, the Buddha said. Then virya is what? Tenacity. Means it will drive you because you have the passion. You will spend a lot of time doing it. Understand? The third one, citta, is what? Citta is mind. Isn't it? That is the willpower. Then the fourth one is vimansa, investigative. They are very investigative. Like Mateo, she strategize why he failed. Then how he will not fail. So they look at all these things. They learn. So this one, the four bases of success is for mundane success. Although it's also stated as the 37 factors of enlightenment. But the willpower is not a spiritual faculty. Do you understand? That citta is mind, willpower. Whereas the real
spiritual faculty is the ti and samadhi, not citta. Citta is five aggregate of form and mind. But there is a willpower inside there that drives this citta. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, when you have willpower. They use this English saying, if there is a will, there is a way. It's very true. No? If you really will towards it, it will come your way. But if you will with negative intent, coming also come. You get extra. You not only get what you want, you get karmic repercussion too. So the Dhamma way is not to use will. What is the Dhamma way? What do you use? Yeah? Pure wish, anasal, aspiration, invoke power of merits for nature's law to take its course. That is the Dhamma way. But you go and will with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and that one you get into trouble. But if you arise the pure wish, then it's different. Then you work towards it. Like you have ambition and all those things. You want to have a successful career. You want to be successful in whatever you want to do. Work towards it. Using wisdom, understanding. No crookedness. Understand? Huh? Don't have evil intention. Then you will be successful. Then whatever you gain or you get will be very stable. You won't lose it. You won't get into trouble after that. Because it is the Dhamma way. Means no crooked way. No deceiving, no cheating. You didn't violate society's law, the nature's law. Then it comes through understanding. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why my daughter shared one is from her own experience. She experienced that, but nowadays she appreciates so much things. Everything is, she was full of gratitude. And you can only have that until you understand the Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot have that, I tell you. Otherwise, the mind is very selfish. You always think of yourself. You don't appreciate life. You don't appreciate what the world has given you. That's why my teacher Achanyantra said, nature has great loving kindness, great compassion. Nature just give. How did he realize that? Well, he saw in nature. The air we breathe, the water we drink, we take for granted, isn't it? Most of the time. The food that we eat all come from nature. Then your building material all come from nature. That's why you don't appreciate nature. You don't have this sense of respect and gratitude towards nature. Because nature has great loving kindness. Nature is very generous. Nature endures everything and never complains. Who complains? Human mind complains a lot. You look at nature at night, in the cold wind outside, 10:30 already. They endure the harsh weather, isn't it? Even rain, wind, or whatever. How cold or what they endure, like the rock outside, the tree outside. They endure. Then, because they endure, they never complain. They accord and they flow. They are at peace. True or not? That's why my teacher, Ajahnra, he always used this word, is it? The plant, because they accord and flow, they will never complain. Then they always have this understanding. When the weather is very harsh, what do they do? Like autumn, winter, what do they do? They shed their leaves. Then they, through the winter, they will go through what? Hibernate or what? To bud again during spring when condition is favorable. Do you realize? Autumn is shedding leaf, isn't it? Then winter, nothing can grow, isn't it? That's why they hibernate, isn't it? Or they endure. Then when the spring comes, they bud again. That's why they have all the beautiful cherry blossom. And today I received one from Alostar. You all saw that. You didn't see the cherry blossom. But this one is not the real one. But look the same. Don't have sound.
look the same, sound the same, but may not be me. This one is really not Japan. This one, I'll stop a whole road, no. Whole road. Oh, full. I tried to get it, then I sent to my Kayamita. Very nice. I think just this season, up there. So, when you start to see all this, when you have the understanding, you really rejoice. And there is gratitude. The world can be so beautiful because of harmony. Then everything I see, when there is lack of harmony, disaster. A lot of conflict, war. That's why life is about understanding harmony and disharmony. Do you understand? Whenever there is disharmony within the household, what happens? A lot of argument, a lot of conflict. Then do you know what happened? The spouse, most of them, before they have the Dhamma, they take things for granted. Actually, the wife work very hard. You think easy to do household work, not easy. I have a lot of gratitude. That's why I say my wife is a very good wife. You know, she takes care of everything very well. And I just can't imagine if I do that work. But I do what I'm good at. The thing that I good at, she is not good at. That's why our life very funny. She like to eat, I don't like to eat the food. And I don't like to eat what she like to eat. One. You ask her and see. And yet we can be happily married for so long. And she do the thing she like best. That's why I say we must have this ability. You do your part, I do my part. And the Mandarin that she has helped me a lot. That's why all the Maya teaching, you think I know how to teach you. I ask her for the meaning of the word. I don't know the meaning of the word. Then she explained the meaning to me. Then I will understand the whole thing already. The only thing she told me was, I also didn't know, when Master Xuan Hua came, his Mandarin is China Taiwan, you remember? She also find it very difficult to understand. She cannot. But you, do you know what happened? Every time he speak, Dhamma, I understand it in and out, no? Completely. You know. That's why she come and tell me, he told Gumoy, I Chinese school teacher, I can understand what he's trying to tell me. Because he's on China type. Then his teaching is, I still remember there are certain words that he say. More you more zhen dao, zhen dao cai you more. Ye mo ye guang liang, guang liang geng yao mo. Mo dao lu chu ye, xian chu ben lai fo. But in the very ancient China one, I listened and I was full of joy. Wow, this poem is very good. Very, very beautiful. Then he also say, Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. Wu hui xing jiu wu hui fo. Wow, the moment I listen to that, I say, this guy is not bad, he's good. Then there's a lot of what the sharing, San Chuan Fa Lun, I still remember. 这是苦鲁英知, he always say like that one. 不但我知道, 你也应该知道. But because he used the word Mandarin, 鲁英知, 知 means you must know it. Then I realized, not like the English one. This is suffering. Suffering is to be understood, not to know as knowledge. Understand? So the word 知, I don't know, got more meaning than knowing. It's to be understood. Suffering is to be understood. Oh, 应知啦, 应该知道啊, correct. 应该知, but the word 知 is not the right word. No. It's to be understood. No. Knowing it is not enough. No. Suffering is to be understood. Craving is to be abundant, or severe, he used the word. Then the third noble truth, cessation is to be realized. That one he got it right. The last one also, Luying Zhen, is to be cultivated, perfected, which is okay. But the first one run a bit. That's why that time when he spoke the three turning, for the first noble truth, second turning, it didn't went in, no, until I saw the Pali one, with the English translation. Then only that word strike me. That's why later on when I share, I say, the word is very important. When you understand, the meaning is totally different. Okay, we better end. Tonight, sadhu. Luckily, my daughter set the alarm. Well, my wife forgot to bring her phone. She brought her. It's just not in the car, it's just she forgot. Oh, in the pocket. Oh, okay. So still the same phone, huh? No wonder so accurate. Okay. Let us share merit, transfer merit, then we make our aspiration, then we end. Akasata cha bomata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatkalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the other worthy ones. Also, sadhu to all those who help out to prepare the Heart Sutta second edition, and all the Kayamita that has donated to the Kayamita Fund. Yeah, this is funded by the Kayamita Fund, and this book is very useful. We had decided to print initially 400 copies. I think we will use them. We are every retreat, we will use quite a bit. Then we ask them to keep the plate so that in future, if we need to reprint more, the plates are there. So the reprinting will be a lot cheaper. This first copy, I think it costs us about 5,000, about 1250 a copy. But it's very thick, 200 pages. Your photo stack also, the cost will come to be more or less or higher. You cannot get this type of coal mining. This type of coal mining is not cheap. And also the cover is color. You photostat, you cannot get the color. So do cherish this book. Rejoice and really make use of it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This book is an enhancement. You read the preface, you will know. The second edition, a lot of enhancement. Then the table of content now is very complete. All the subheadings are there. Anything you want to know, there is also an index page at the back there. You can actually make full use of it. Then Jin Hao also make it into e-book or don't know what. Then that one you can like Sui An say, you can search one. There's a search. Type the word, then it will tell you what page, where that in the book. That one is better than the index. Where index is man-made one, Pamasuri made. But this one is the computer generated one. Because it's the e-book one. The computer can take it out from the e-book straight away. So these are all the things. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So as Kayamita, you get to partake because you are part of the Kayamita. And this book will help a lot of people. You must read through it. There's a lot of beautiful understanding behind. I used to tell the Sunday class people last time, the Heart Sutta, I said, no need notes already. After chapter 41, I told Miss Lee, no need to write already. More than enough. You can understand this. You understand all the essential teaching already. And you are already very different, very good. So no need to copy notes already. So that's why after that, there is no more notes. But we continue to develop the appendix. Well, the appendix are important sharing, which we don't have notes. So all these are from the early days, I think. Because I wrote them. I wrote them. Then that was the first batch. Then after that, all this, they were in printed hard copy. So I saw them, then I compiled them. Then I use it for sharing. That's why it became Appendix 3, Appendix 6 and all those things. Then those who help out also help to evolve the whatever appendix and sharing. We have all those chart, the three turning all things. It's not prepared by me. They listen to what I say, then they go and do the transcript. Then after that, they create the table, send to me for editing. So I edit and smoothen it and make it very complete. That's how you have it in the book form. All this need people who has the condition. That's why I cannot write book. I need you to transcribe what I speak. Because when I write, it's no more from the heart. No more from the heart. I cannot write. I can only speak. When I speak, it's from the nature. This one come out. Well, this one, don't go through the memory. That's why just now I have to ask you, how did I come to that part? I cannot remember. How did I come to that? Then when she mentioned 31 years of pure energy, then I remember. Yeah, I want to share with you about the Po Yong. So all this is like that because this one is non-grasping. It cannot hold. It cannot try to remember things also. There's no point. So whatever will be. Because this brain, the whole thing transformed. After the mundane mind collapsed, there is no more mundane mind up there. You know. It's like no mind at all. We are the pure nature shining forth. Then I had to learn to use this one. No. Initially, it's like the baby without the mundane mind. It's like no mind inside there. No. So fine, so smooth. Then this one cannot hold on to thing one. No. So different. That's why you become completely different as a human being. Then I see things so clearly. Things that I never see before last time. How come suddenly, all of a sudden, I can see? Not to say the world is different. The world is exactly the same. But the universal characteristic, every moment, every instant is there. I don't have to go and look for it. Because all the awareness, that nature come out. That's why for those who see, they always see. That thing is like that.
who can understand? Unless you transform and become that one. Then we can talk. Like my last teacher said, the whole world, I only need you. Nobody else also can. The two of us can talk. 2 o'clock he met me, talk until 6 o'clock. Never tired, never what, full of joy. And before I left, he said, the whole universe, two of us are now. Because we talk, we can understand each other. Nobody else can understand. Oh, at that time, I tell you, so different. Because he can't get another guy who can have the understanding. So a lot of things in life, in the training, you have to go through to have the understanding. It's just like our career. You don't go through the career line and the experience until towards the end. You can never teach people. Understand? You look back, those without experience, the young graduate, make a lot of mistakes. They cannot see the full picture. A lot of things they cannot understand. Okay, better have your food before it's too late. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.